Thank you. God for the numerous blessings that God gave to us through Robert. We praise God for the rich and full, the joyful life that Robert lived. He was certainly a gifted storyteller. I've learned a bit more of that in more recent days, and apparently no one can turn a phrase like Bergen. And as great a storyteller as Robert may have been, the Lord is the one who wrote his story, and he continues to write many others, everyone in this room, part of the Lord's story. And we give thanks to God that by his grace and according to his great providence, our stories overlapped with Robert's. That's why we're here, isn't it? That alone is cause for celebration. Even in the midst of sadness that Robert's earthly story has ended, we can celebrate, not just for the life that was lived, but the eternal life that has now just begun. The truth is, we're not here just to celebrate Robert. We're certainly not here to praise Robert. And I dare say that if I were to propose something like that, and if he were here where he normally is, right back there in the sound booth, he would cut this mic so quickly, you wouldn't even believe it. No, we're here to praise God. The grace and glory of God are the reason that we're here this afternoon. We're here for singing. We are here in sorrow. We're here for remembering, but we're also here for rejoicing. We are here to worship God. First and foremost, because he is always worthy of worship, even in solemn assemblies like this. Death, awful as it is, cannot change the fact that God is worthy of our worship this and every day. He is good all the time. He is glorious all the time. And he is loving and gracious all the time. And though his plans obviously don't always align with our own, his plans are perfect, and his purposes for us are good. His love for us, for Robert, for the rest of us, can't be questioned, because in his love for us, he did not spare his only son, but gave him up, even while we were sinners. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the only reason that we are not crushed, the only reason that we continue to have hope in times like these, when we do feel the sting of death. We will not be crushed only because we rest in the certain hope of the one who conquered sin and death for Robert and for us. We praise God for that unshakable hope that Robert telling him to sing, "I'll Fly Away," through his final earthly days. I'd never really heard the man sing, because he was always over there, and I'm always will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. I invite you to be seated, and we're going to hear some very wonderful and special music as a quartet comes forward to sing for us. Sorry, I'm so sorry about that.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll,
soul with my wondered what heaven would sound like? Now you might know. It was absolutely beautiful. Georgia Beth, she is going to come and give a eulogy. Very excited and proud of her for coming and having the strength to come and do something like this.
Hi, I'm Georgia Beth Peters, and Robert L. Bergen Jr. was my grandfather. My grandpa was a kind, trustworthy, smart man. He was always honest with you whether you liked it or not. He would always say, "I am your number one fan and always will be." When we would go to this church, we would sit in the sound booth back there, and he would let me turn up the pastor's microphone and let me push whatever buttons I wanted. He would always tell me how important school was after that, but I don't understand how that had anything to do with me helping him. We all know Saturdays were his favorite night because we would have steak, a baked potato, and a salad. My Mimi, Kitty, we all know that he would not eat the salad. We would have to force him like a five-year-old because we would always have a fudgesicle after that. I would go to bed, and then Poppy would read me this psalm. "I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and the earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will not slumber nor sleep." Now I want to thank my Poppy for being in the military for 38 years, and then my mom having me and him retiring and saying, "I'm gonna take my granddaughter to Disney World." He trained every day for a couple of months so that he wouldn't have to sit in the mechanical wheelchairs. I specifically remember him telling my mom and Jeezy and Mimi, "I will not sit in those mechanical wheelchairs like those older folks do." My Poppy was probably one of the most stubborn people you will ever meet. But he was also one of the most lovable people you would ever meet. I know we all miss him, but we all know what he's doing right now. He is tinkering with his boat, getting ready to go fishing. I love you, Poppy. Can't wait till we can all be together again. Thank you.
Take me to the water. Take me to the water. Take me to the water to be baptized. I love my Savior. He's my Savior. Yes, He is. Glory, hallelujah. Take me to the water. Take me to the water. Take me to the water to be baptized.
Will you please stand and we'll sing Amazing Grace, hymn number 433. The words will be on the screen, but if something were to happen, you have the hymnals right in front of you. Let's worship the Lord. You may be seated. I say this at almost every funeral I can remember being a part of, that it is a wonderful privilege that Alan and myself, we get to minister and to labor among God's people. There are times, I'm sure, we take it lightly. We don't do the things that perhaps we would want us to do if the Lord were standing next to us. There are times when we have to confess that we're flawed men. But the Lord seems to see fit. He allows us to continue to labor with men like Robert. To see sometimes from the very beginning of their lives, one of my favorite things to do is to baptize these wonderful little children. I love seeing them grow up. I love seeing their parents and the family of God raise them together and see them off into adulthood, and some stick around, some go off. And others, they show up in this church, middle age, maybe in their later years, and sometimes they have come just a few weeks before they have died to get to know them and have had to preside over those funerals. And it's a privilege every time. So thank you. To the family, I'm very sorry. He lived 81 years. And he didn't eat salad, which tells you that means nothing. Means nothing. Kids, eat your vegetables. Total bull. Doesn't work. I'm really proud of you, Georgia Beth. That was amazing. Maybe you should be giving this instead of me. You're a very good public speaker. And we saw your heart and how much you love your pop. Or your papa. I don't know Poppy. I'm just really proud of you. That was amazing. Thank you. And I hope you're full of hope. Funerals have a somber tone, an aroma of sadness, but as Christians, we're not to really mourn or have sadness without hope. In fact, it may sound arrogant to some, but we're the only ones in the entire world, in the history of the world, that can actually look at a casket and smile. Because we know that this is not the end. Death thinks it's the end. Death has proclaimed it's the end. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ has told us it is not the end. Kitty, I've told you these past couple weeks. I'm so proud of you. I'm so thankful for the display of love that you had for your husband, for your family. Seeing you curled up next to him in the bed that was, I think you were getting a little numb by laying there for a little bit, but you kept laying there because you loved your husband. I was deeply encouraged by that. I want to love my wife the way I saw you love yours, your husband. So thank you. I have a few things that the family has asked me to read. Hopefully this will be encouragement to you in Robert's life. He was born October 11th, 1939. He was from a family of very talented musicians and singers. He was born to love music, that he did. When he was younger, at the Bergen reunions, they would gather around the piano and sing hymns. One of his favorites was "I'll Fly Away," which we will hear in a few moments from these wonderful gentlemen behind us, which he was able to sing with me while in the hospital. This is from Kitty. Robert loved the Lord, and he loved him some good gospel music. He played the trumpet when he was in high school, but his favorite thing to do was the drums. We had a kindred liking to those things. I played the trumpet, I played the drums as well, and we loved music, so we always connected on the music level. He was a drummer in several bands. His love of music led him to be the sound man at church, that he was. Interesting, since he was hard of hearing. And that is fascinating. Miracles happened every Sunday back there. I don't know how he did it. Robert was proud to serve with the 145th Airlift Wing of the North Carolina Air National Guard from 1961 to 1999. He loved being part of the Guard family. He loved working on the C-130 Hercules cargo plane. On your way out, you may see a picture of that in the narthex if you're curious. Kitty says, I know nothing about airplanes, but I could always recognize the lumbering workhorse as it flew over. He was able to travel around the world from Oman to Australia, Ecuador, Germany, Belgium, Spain, among other places. They were able to fly to England together on that C-130 after he retired. That must have been an interesting flight. You guys were in the cockpit, I hear. I don't know how comfortable that was, but maybe it was just romantic and that was enough. Now I know why he loved that plane. I think his favorite trip was Panama because he got to go fishing. He was an aircraft engineer, mechanic, supervisor when he retired as Master Sergeant. His fishing trips to the beach with his retired guard friends was very special. I'll just interrupt this, as he would always say, now I'm going away for 3 weeks, Aaron, so we're going to have to get somebody back there. He always made sure that the audio board was taken care of. You're going to be okay for 3 weeks? Like, we'll manage. Goes on to say, thank you, Bill, for loving Robert and spending quality time with him daily. You were very patient when he was tired, or he tried telling you exactly how everything should be done. Robert loved his family above all else. He supported Jenna and Janet in whatever they did. He was Jenna's biggest fan when she was a dancer and now as a dance instructor. He encouraged and loved to hear Janet sing. He loved to follow his son-in-law Bob's career. Now Georgia Beth was his pride and joy, and he loved to watch her dance and compete. He was so proud of all their accomplishments. I've seen a lot of your dancing. Because he would come and say, hey, you know, come here, take a look. That he was definitely proud of you. She writes, I knew Robert for almost 42 years and had the privilege to be married to him for almost 38. I wish I had 38 more. Robert loved life and was a happy person. He did not sweat the small stuff, which you put in here, which you're going to try to do less of. In the words of Robert, let me tell you a question. I'm so thankful you put that in there. As a man from Ohio, I just stood in shock. I didn't know how to answer. I didn't say anything. I didn't know what that meant. Thank you, Kitty. This is from Janet. He never called me Janet. Always called me Bergenstein, always. Every voicemail he ever left me, he started by saying, hey, Bergenstein, this is your dear old dad. He even signed all his cards to me, D-O-D, stood for dear old dad. He picked out the funniest cards for me always, no sappy ones, always funny. If he wanted to ask you something, he'd say, let me tell you a question. Okay, there's a pattern going on here. He loved his family and friends so much and everything music, none of that canned stuff, as he called it. Only real music would do for him. I think he'd be very proud of you, man. That was beautiful. I'll miss him so much, but I'm grateful to have him for almost 50 years. I also received another letter from Terry Henderson, part of the Air National Guard. Quote, because of professionals like Bergen, and when in Durango, Colorado, in 12,000-foot elevation, and at 100 feet and sinking and weighing 135,000 pounds, and the slurry did not go out, and the airspeed had dropped to 88 knots, and I asked for max power, and those engines he worked on gave me 120% power. I'm alive today along with Harkey, Lott, Adams, and Whitcomb. Thank you for sending me those. Again, it is a privilege to read those, to be a part of this. That loud boom, before we came in here, I told the family, you know, Robert's not back there, so I'm not sure how the audio is going to go. Now, it's not that I don't trust you back there. I really do. But when that boom happened, boy, that was pretty divine, I would say. I really did love that man. He cared about worship. He wanted it to be done well. He wanted it to be clear. He loved the Lord. And I do think that we have personality, happy disposition. Some people are just happier than others. It's just the way God wires us, and it's not one way is wrong or one way is right. It's just, again, how God has knitted us in the womb. But I think a lot of his happiness was piled on because of his love of the Lord and his love of the church and his love of his family. There's a lot of reasons for him to be happy. The Lord blessed him. When I began thinking on what to talk about in terms of the scripture and how to relay that to Robert's life and then ultimately to the Lord Jesus Christ, for that's the reason we're here, I never know what passage I'm going to go to be honest. After I talk with the family or I talked with the spouse, passages begin to unfold, and this one I've never used as a funeral text, but I think it would be incredibly fitting for today and for just a few moments. I'll speak on that. This is Romans 8, verses 9 through 11. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. There's much to say in the book of Romans and certainly in this passage. But the main point, I think what Paul is trying to show us, is that there's two ways in which all humans live. There's no middle ground. There's no third option. It's either life with the Spirit or life without the Spirit. And in verse 9, he says that the way you know that you're one of the Lord's people is not by running a soundboard. It is not by talking about your family. It's not serving in the National Guard. Although those things can be evident, but those are not inherently what show that you have the Spirit. What shows you have the Spirit is the motivation behind those things. Why does he do those things? Why do we do these things? You know people have the Spirit by certain characteristics. We can see this in people, right? We can look at their certain facial features. We can see the personality traits, their characteristics, and they give indications that they're part of a particular family. Even their voice, the way they walk. You may have even heard people say, your parents can't deny you. My children look just like Rachel and I, and it's like a factory assembly line just stamped out five children. They can't deny us as much as they may want to do that to me. They can't deny it. The Spirit of the Lord is the very characteristic that reveals to those around you if you are known by God. It is the Holy Spirit that you cannot see, but you can see in a person that reveals this third person of the Trinity. You can't see Jesus, you can see the Spirit. Because the Spirit is who resides in believers. Jesus is on the throne. The Father is omnipresent through his Spirit. But you can see God through people. They have characteristics. I often tell premarital couples that I read one place where the many years that a couple are together, as they look at each other and they see them act and even their facial expressions, they begin to subconsciously mimic their spouse because they love their spouse. Their face, and so when someone has been married for 30, 40, 50 years, they look like they should be siblings. Those characteristics show in a spouse just the way the Spirit shows in the life of a person who knows the Lord. Can't deny that the Spirit is in someone. Verse 10, Paul goes on and says, "But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit of life because of righteousness." So if Christ is in you by His Spirit, there's a certain personality that you show. And he says, "But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead, we don't actually see the Spirit anymore." Because Robert's spirit is gone. He's not here. Only his flesh is here. His spirit is in a place that we all should long to be. So Paul finishes these verses, or at least we're finishing these verses today. He says, "If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." Paul is just repeating this over and over and over again. One of the questions I often ask, whether I'm teaching a class or come across this passage in just a generic study, or if this passage comes up, I'll ask, who raised Jesus from the dead? Well, was it the Father that raised Jesus from the dead? Was it Jesus that raised Himself from the dead? Or was it the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead? Well, the Scripture actually speaks of all three. Jesus, when He was walking, He says, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it in 3 days." And in Romans 8, it speaks of the Spirit who raises Jesus from the dead. In other places, when it uses the generic term that God raised Him from the dead, that is referring to the Father. So God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit raise Jesus from the dead. So the Spirit in this verse is described as the one who raised Jesus, and that is incredible power. But it looks like that power is gone. Robert's not moving. So what confidence do we have as we stand here? All of us are in front of a dead body. What confidence do you have that that Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead will also raise this body from the dead and raise your body from the dead? What confidence do you have? Well, I would encourage you, as we're doing with Robert's life, is to look to his life. Did we see the Spirit alive in him? And we look to Christ, who's the one that gives the Spirit. And do those two meet? Do I live a life that is in service to Christ because Christ first gave me His Spirit? See, the resurrection is something we have not experienced. We've not done that. I've done countless of funerals that we're going to go to in just a few moments, and I've yet to see somebody get out of that grave that was already put in it. They don't get out. And I could scream, and I can bring in mass music, and I can even make the earth shake. Cannot get anybody out of the grave. So what do I have? What hope do I have that what we're going to do when we put Him in the ground, what hope do you have that He's going to come out? Well, let me ask you, did Robert believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? And I'm not talking about a spiritual resurrection. I'm talking about a literal, bodily resurrection out of that tomb. We're going to celebrate Easter in a few weeks, and it hinges on the literal, physical raising of a body. Did Robert believe in a resurrection? did Robert live his life in hopes of a future resurrection. Kitty, this may be a little too personal, but I'll run my chances here. I know he had doubts. I know he struggled. And as I often told him, and I've told you, join the club. We have doubts. Are these things really true? But where do we find those doubts, and how do we get those doubts removed? Well, I don't suggest we look to ourselves, because that's where the doubts begin, and then encouraged by the enemy. I believe we look outside of ourselves into the one who did rise from the dead. It's the only place you can go to remove those doubts. It is not to our own doing, but it is to the Lord's doing. And so, did Robert have the same spirit that rose Christ from the dead? And I got to tell you, I've done a handful of these funerals, and these are my favorite. And the reason is because I can stand here confidently with a smile and say, yes, he did. I know where he is. Do you know where he is? Are you confident that he is there? And are you confident that you can join him? Look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of one's faith. There was that letter that was given to Kitty and then forwarded on to me. It says, I asked for max power, and those engines he worked gave me 120% power. I'm alive today, along with Harkey, Lott, Adams, and Whitcomb. There's a very easy parallel to make to the resurrection on this. Are we looking to anyone's power at that point for the resurrection? No. We are looking to the one who built that plane. We're looking to the one who rose from the dead. Because there's max power in the resurrection. And Robert is alive today. While we see his body, he is alive because of the power of Jesus Christ. And so this funeral is actually not for him. We honor him, and we say that. We put it on bulletins, and we say we're going to do this in memory and honor. And we have different foundations that do that. But they're really not for them, right? You're not here for Robert. Funerals are for you. These are moments in life when you look, and just for a brief moment, your life stops and you come and you hear, I hope, and proclaim that you are here for the resurrection. The truth of the resurrection is what gives you hope. So the question is he in you? And so, well, yes, we are here to honor his life, but we're also here to see the reality and the certainty of death. One day, if the Lord does not come back, I will be in a casket, just like Robert. And the reality is, and I'm speaking very elementary things here, you will too. We will all be faced with the certainty that he will not be the first. He is certainly not the last. And so, do we look to Christ? Did Robert look to Christ? I trust and believe he did. And I trust you do as well. And so my last little plea is this. As you are here to honor Robert, I would ask that you would look your eyes to the same place that Robert looked. Honor him by looking to the faith that was in him that gave him the hope of the resurrection and the hope of eternal life. Let me pray for us. Lord, we thank you for your saints. We thank you that we get to watch the Spirit move in and out of these walls and in the lives of your people. We get to see what the Spirit looks like by looking at the different people that have the Spirit of God indwelling within them. May we look to Christ and receive the wonderful Spirit, the hope, the comforter, the guarantee of eternal life. We ask that you would do a great work. You have completed that work for Robert. Would you continue and complete that work in us? We ask in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and all God's people said, Amen. Will you please stand? So I'll be giving benediction, and then we will then have the family exit out, and then we'll exit in the same way we came in. And then these wonderful men will be singing I'll Fly Away, which is a beautiful conclusion to this service. Now to Him who is able to keep you from doubting, from stumbling, and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen.
Hallelujah, by your